Our first speaker today, Amy, is Executive Director at the Godot Foundation, and he is leading the organization's mission to advance the Godot engine and to support developers all over the globe. He has been part of the development, and he's working with Godot since a very long time, even he can't remember. And therefore, he has also very extensive knowledge about the development, about the future roadmap, future events and initiatives of the Godot Foundation. He's also the host of the weekly live stream Godot Tomorrow, and where you can, that's a Q&A live stream where you can ask a lot of questions, any questions about Godot, about the Godot Foundation. And today he will do a live session here on the stage for us. And what better way to start Godot Fest 2025 with a Godot Foundation Q&A with Amy.
Okay, can you hear me all right? Okay, so I'm gonna do like a little introduction about some of the topics, some of the things that we are working on. So to remind you, if you have any questions, you know you can ask about any of those. I will preface with, I will not go into any super technical answer. Usually those are better on GitHub, but feel free to ask anything you want. Okay, so it's a bit hard to see right now, but I guess everybody knows by now, but I have to say, like, the Godot Foundation is a nonprofit organization, and like the intro said, we are basically the team that's behind the engine and receives the donations and hires people to work on making it possible. So, you know, the main thing that we do is the Godot engine that everybody uses, but there's other things that we need to do to further our mission. One thing is all the infrastructure to receive those donations and to actually, you know, distribute it in the way that the community wants us to. I just wanted to mention, this is the fund site. This is where you can go and donate. We recently made this change. So in the first square over there, like, it's the one-time donations. And next to it, you have the euros per month. If you remember from before, we only used to show how many donations per month we have. The issue is that once we had a big donation for a year, then we split that donation into 12 months and we showed all that. What happened? At the end of the year, the donation ended and everybody was panicking. Oh my God, Godot lost a lot of funding. What's going on? So I think this is a better way of displaying it. And we've seen like a huge increase. Previous year, when we enabled one time donations, we enabled it in December and we had like 100K from all the sponsorships and individual donations, and this year it's gonna be way bigger than that. So yeah, if you have any questions about donations, please let me know. Then there's also, well, I should have picked the light theme here, but then there's the asset store, which is something that we've been working for a while, and many of you who are not so much into the making games of it, but also, you know, the other side, like making assets, making music and all that, I know that it was a bit confusing where to find these sort of assets or where to publish them. And it's going very well. We have like a lot of new users. Of course, it's still in beta, so a lot of things are changing. You can visit the website here. We have like links to the changelog and the roadmap, which if you want to know what's coming, it's always good to have there. And we are probably going to be replacing the asset library, which is the one that you have on the engine, very soon. We wanted to do it kind of painless, so you don't have to think about if the asset that you want to use, it's already on the asset store or not. So we're going to be contacting many of you. If you have an asset published on the asset library, you should try this out and give us feedback. But then, you know, there was like a very small game called Battlefield 6 who decided to send a lot of users to us, and they are all using the asset library. So we have to make sure that that transition is smooth. Then other things that we do was recently, like at the beginning of last week, I think was, on Friday, we released the showreel, and how the showreel is made is historically, we got like all the submissions and then all the maintainers and the people who are contributing to Godot got to vote in terms of like which ones they like. And from those, from the top ones, we made the yearly video. This time, we made this new platform, which basically lets you vote. And also, if you are donating to the Godot Foundation, you can participate and you can also donate, which has been very cool because, you know, people wanted to know which were the submissions and we wanted to let people in. And I think the barrier of entry of being someone who donates also helps a lot with the spam. You know, we cannot open it to everybody and, you know, get the crazy things from the internet. And the priority list, how many of you know about the priority list that we have on our website? Okay, not so many. Yeah, that's why we need to do a better job here. So with the priority list, we want to do the same. Basically, there's a lot of things that different teams that are working on Godot decide that, you know, this is something that this area needs. So they create these different items in which you can see more or less what will happen. This doesn't mean that it will come in the next version, but it means that eventually we want to get to it. And it's a bit hard for now to know what the people who are donating want us to work faster on. And maybe some things that we have on the priority list have been there for a long time. So what we want to do is kind of like a mix match of the voting on the show reels and the priorities. So you will be able to vote like which ones you think are the best priorities, you know, for us to work on. And hopefully we want to, you know, incorporate more feedback from everybody to make it, you know, better. And yeah, know who we have to hire. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Other things that we started doing is, the website, we added some analytics to it. It's been a long time. It's very controversial on many places to do this, but we finally did it. It's all self-hosted by us. We want to expose it as much as possible so everyone can check the status of it. And once we did that, we found that China was the second, like, most visited country. We had, all this data is from July until now, but we had this blind spot, because everything that we've been checking up until now was coming from sources like YouTube or, you know, all the places where you cannot disable it. And in those platforms, you know, they are banned in China. So we couldn't see anything. So, you know, this led us also to maybe explore different users that we have a lot, but we are not maybe paying a lot of attention to. We also see Brazil third and Germany fourth, who has been always in the top three, like, for a long time, until now China came. So, you know, you have to keep up here in Germany. But that also helped us inform some decisions, for instance, like localizing the website to different languages. It's already in German, in Portuguese, Spanish, Chinese. There's also a Japanese one, Korean, I think. And it was a little bit of an experiment, so only the homepage is mostly translated. But we're gonna keep working on making this easier for everybody. And yeah, some other stuff that we do, and of course you should get one plushie. This was, you know, one of the collaborations. People really want merch from us, but if you have done any sort of merch, you see that it's kind of difficult to find it in a, like, a sustainable way that you don't have to be spending a lot of time and resources in getting all your stuff shipped to you and then you ship it to everybody and all that. This was a good compromise because they, you know, they take care of everything and, you know, people can enjoy the plushie. So this, you can get it now after my talk. And yeah, we do a lot more. And as it was said, I do a weekly stream on Wednesdays where it's kind of like this, but, you know, from the comfort of your house. So if I didn't get to answer your question today, happy to answer it on Wednesday. But next week, and that's, I want to ask all of you, we have a Q&A with the rendering team. So Clay John will be there answering all your rendering questions. I know there's a lot of rendering questions all the time. So if you have one for that, would be nice to save it for next week on stream. Otherwise, feel free to ask anyway. So we're ready to start. Just, you know, raise your hands. I don't know how we're gonna get the microphone to you, but
Before we start the Q&A, I have to ask you, we have video recording, so I come with the microphone to you, and please speak into the microphone.
So, okay, any questions, any hands? I see some hands over there.
Hey. Oh, that is, sorry, a little bit loud. I was wondering, so a lot of the time volunteers choose what they work on or the core team decides what's the most important, but I'm wondering overall for all the budget, how do you decide what's the next step to scale and in which region you would like to go into?
And sorry, the last part?
What region do you think is the most important from time to time, and where would you spend all the budget you're getting bit by bit? How do you scale this?
Yeah. So one of the things we use to inform that is the feedback that we get from users. And that's something that we try to get from different channels. Like we get a lot of GitHub issues and reports. We also are in touch with some studios that are using Godot internally so they can give us feedback. But also like we do check more or less like what people talk about and what complaints are very common and we see time and time again. So that's what we try to address. Unfortunately, we do have more things that we would like to improve than things that we can actually improve. So that's why always getting more donations helps us, you know, get more people on the team. But ideally, how this works is that the users want something. The team that's working on that area of the engine, let's say the rendering team, like I mentioned, they identify that and they add it as a priority. And when those two match, we know we can assign someone to work on it. For a long time, there has been some areas who have been neglected, but usually it's areas where the people who are struggling with are not communicating with us. And that's why I want to encourage everyone to tell me, you know, what your issues are. And I know that not everybody wants to go into GitHub, write a very boring report, filling out all those fields for something that maybe doesn't apply to more technical topics. So that's something we need to improve as well. But you know, as I mentioned before, with the roadmap voting, hopefully we'll also get a better signal in terms of what to prioritize. I don't know if I answered the question, but okay.
Hello. So looking at it from the outside, looking at Godot from the outside, I would expect like a large challenge to be like coordinating these large features that really have to fit together. So the node system or like the UI system. How do you handle with like so many different people contributing to Godot? How do you handle like the stuff that really needs to like fit together and have an overarching design?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's one of the challenges, especially because a lot of volunteers, you cannot really rely on them. Like they do a lot of work, like tons of work, but sometimes they disappear and, you know, you don't know where they are anymore. And, you know, somebody else needs to pick up where they left it. So what we are trying to do is to have at least one person from the foundation in each team. So whenever that happens, we know that somebody else can fill in that gap. And it is, starting, I think, to change a little bit how the engine was made at the beginning when it was smaller, when there was less people involved, when there were less people making their living out of it. Everything was, I think, simpler. There were less features. There were less stuff. Now that everything has started to grow and get more and more complicated, we're finding it harder to get volunteers to contribute into those big areas. So that's why we are focusing on this, on getting at least one person on each team that can actually handle that area, because you've all seen like a million GDScript requests and everybody wants like a million features in GDScript, but GDScript is already quite complicated as it is right now, and keep adding to that is going to make it harder and harder to keep adding stuff. So we need to take a step back and think, okay, what's really needed? What's actually like preventing you from shipping a game? And that's what we focus on, because yeah, it would be nice to get structs. I know many of you want structs or like traits or namespaces, many things like that. But then it's like, we already see that many people are able to ship games with no problem using GDScript. It's not that they are not coming, right? Those features, but maybe something else like a bug or something that's actually preventing people to get there. It's more important. So that's how we can balance this sort of situation. Hope I answered the question.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw you showed the priorities page, and like I had the feeling like between 3.0 and 4.0 there was a big push on multiplayer, but then now it's not on the priorities page. I just wonder why.
Yeah. Well, multiplayer is complicated because there's different things you can do in multiplayer to make your game happen, and for us, we need to pick one that could benefit the majority of users. So if we say this is how you should do multiplayer in Godot, then all the other options are kind of being left behind or neglected. It could be better, but the reality is like we don't have many active maintainers in the area, and there's currently no one working on the foundation in multiplayer specifically. There are some solutions that people use and have been integrating, and that's, you know, part of the asset store would be to incentivize other people to provide better multiplayer systems or better terrain editors or better things like that, because we cannot get to all of them. But the reality of it is that we just don't have anyone at the moment working on it. And yeah, there are some cool tutorials and stuff like that, but I know that it's not as easy as it could be. But then again, when you give an option that's very easy, usually it comes with compromises, and depending on the game you're making, that might not be the right idea. And then you started building all that, and then you find that roadblock, and then, yeah, it's quite tricky. But it would be something to, you know, if we don't have an area that has any priority list, it would be nice to add it just so people can vote. Like, we want better multiplayer in general, and then try to explore what would be the best way of doing it. So, yeah.
Hello. I hope my question is not too technical, but I was thinking about encryption. At the moment, it's very easy to reverse engineer the games, and it's not no obfuscation. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And are you aware of this? Are you doing something about this? Because I mean, I have a beefy PC, but every time compiling the whole engine by myself and also the templates with an encryption key is quite annoying.
No, we've seen it many times. It happens at least once a month in Reddit. Somebody's like, how will I protect my game if, you know, there's no encryption? The reality is like, yeah, we could do better in that area. I'm not saying not, but we cannot do it perfectly, and there will always be ways of decompiling your games, and that's also happening to Unreal, to Game Maker, to Unity. So it depends on how much you want to invest in it. I think that's something that for the mobile users is more of a concern because of people kind of like pulling it and, you know, publishing. But at the end of the day, it's really tricky to find a solution that will actually be bulletproof. And if we do find something that could improve it, and we say you have now encryption, then a lot of people are going to say, okay, that's it, I don't have to do anything else, and everything is fine, nobody will be able to copy it. And that's not true, because you know, it's a cat and mouse game, and you know, an arms race of who can decompile it faster. So is this preventing you from shipping a game? No. Would this help your business not to get cannibalized by the system? Yes, but I haven't seen it as often. Like, it reaches the headlines, and it's very nice because you can put some of these headlines somewhere and you get a lot of clicks, you get a lot of comments, a lot of engagement of, what if they copy my perfect game and they make millions of it? But I haven't seen it happening with the existing engines. So that tells me that it's maybe a little bit more of a concern of a hypothetical, and we try to fix the concerns that are like more addressable and more like concrete. So I think some improvements can be done, especially, you know, obfuscating GDScript, things like that. There are some plugins that you can use. Going back to the asset store, I'm sure that there will be better ones in the future. So yeah, it's a bit tricky. You cannot really, as long as you're giving them the code, you cannot really prevent them to do whatever they want with it. So yeah, kind of weird answer, but you know.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, so this is the first I've heard that there was a Godot stream. And I looked through and I didn't see announcement in the blog, so that I would never have found it there.
Yeah.
Can you sort of say what the best way to get questions into you? Because I can't see it. I can only see the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then do you have each program, do you have like a theme or a topic? Because my particular interest is in audio and voiceover IP, and I've had 1 year working on trying to get the microphone fixed, and that's kind of like something where we might be able to mobilize a bit more force to get things happening.
Yeah. Well, I started this more or less, like, there's been the last one, I think, was the 10th stream I did. So only 10 weeks ago, a little bit more because I skipped a couple because of conferences. And I didn't want to make a big announcement about it until the format was kind of like right. Basically, I started bouncing off of the idea of Blender Today, which Pablo does for them, you know, like bi-weekly. And it's great because there's a lot of community there going and asking things. And it's also a good way for us to, you know, get what are the most common questions. And then, you know, we know what kind of thing people are thinking about. But I'm still touching the format in terms of, like, should I showcase more, like, on hands of how the new features look like? Should I just answer questions? So once we know the format a little bit more, we're going to be making a better announcement. And regarding the themes, next week it will be the first one that we do a themed one for the rendering team. But if that works out, I think we can do others. And for asking the questions, you can go and ask on the chat, or there's a thread on our forum where if you ask it there, I will go through them at the moment of the stream. But it really depends on what the people want to see. And I've been noticing that people want to see, like, when we merged the new SSR, the screen space reflection, that got a lot of, like, interest, and people wanted to see how it looked like. So I did a very little demo and everybody was happy. So maybe we should do more of that. It's an evolving thing. So, yeah.
Hi. Our studio uses C# very heavily. We're interested to know what the sort of next steps for C# are, because I feel like the conversation around it has dropped away quite a lot. So interested in hearing the next steps and also where to find that info.
Yeah. So it's a good time to ask that, because we will publish something about it very soon. For a long time, we've been working on the GD extension side of things, moving it, you know, to GD extension. And we want to time it with the 4.6 releases to show, like, an experimental build that people can try and they can, you know, play around with it. There will be a couple of changes, but they shouldn't be too hard. Maybe if your project is already way too advanced, you should stick to the current implementation. We're going to still support that one until we know that everybody's happy with the new one, kind of like what we did with Jolt. So it's not going to be the default, but then eventually it will come with the single binary. It will download Godot. There will be no other version that you need to download. The problem with that, and I have to be super honest, is like most of the Godot maintainers and most of the people at the foundation don't use C#. So for us, it's a big mystery. We do hire a person to work on this, and there are a couple of maintainers that are very passionate about it, but it's not going as fast as it should be, right? Because, again, like, for us, I think most of us are using GDScript and are focusing on that, but I think it will be very interesting not only for the C# people, but also for the people who are doing other language implementations, like the Rust Godot or Python or JavaScript, because once we do this integration, any other language will be able to use the same system, the same GD extension system, right, to also include their other implementations of languages. So hopefully with that, they will get a little bit more of a boost in interest, and it will improve also how it is working right now. So yeah, expect for when we get maybe to beta in maybe by the end of this year to see like an experimental build, and Raul will make a blog post about what the changes are and, you know, what you can expect. And yeah, if you're working with C#, please get in touch with us, because that's also another thing, right? Like, we don't hear a lot about people working on C#. We know, for instance, the people that who are making Slay the Spire, they are using C#, and when we ask them, they are like, okay. So So I guess it's fine, but then other users have different expectations and they tell us, I don't know, like I cannot do anything with C#. And I feel there's a lot of misconceptions that you're gonna just do the same that you did in Unity, but in Godot, and that's not the case. But if we still see, you know, this feedback of people wanting to do certain things in a certain way, we need to adapt to that. But we need to hear from you, so, yeah.
Hey, Emmy, thank you for being here. I was wondering, what is something that the community doesn't do or doesn't do enough of that the community could do that would make your life easier? Like, what are things that the community can do?
I think it's going to sound a little bit biased coming from me, but donating, that could help a lot. Like, there's many things in terms of, like, you know, I've seen it as I'm doing all these streams, answering questions and all that. I see that people are now understanding some points better so they can answer other people as well. And there's, I've seen something that happened during last year, which I felt like a lot of the newcomers don't really know that you can actually talk to us. They are like, oh, the Godot people, right? And I'm working on my game, and then there's the Godot people. It's kind of like, you can come and talk to us. And I feel like the community is not, like, explaining that well enough. Usually in the open source community, it's like, you complain about something, it's like, make a PR, shut up, no, contribute it yourself. But it's like, that's not usually, like, a good answer. So, yeah, getting better, like, we hear people like, we are struggling with this at our studio. Okay, can you let us know? Like, you can send us. It doesn't have to be through the usual methods. You can send us an email, a message on Discord, on Rocket Chat, anywhere, but explaining what your issues are. And that's very valuable for us, because even if it's, you know, 2-3 paragraphs, that's good enough for us to understand, and we can aggregate all that feedback to actually React. So, yeah, I would like everyone to know that we are not a huge organization with thousands of people that is working on this, and we are not hearing you. It's more like a community. And yeah, we've been very thankful that some of the games are supporting, you know, like here we have like Blobfish Games, who's doing Brotato, Chasing Carrots, who's doing a new game, but also like Halls of Torment. We have the developer from Backshot Roulette who are donating right to us, and that helps a lot. But if you check the list of people who are donating to us and the successful Godot games, there isn't too many. So I will leave it there.
Yeah, what's the deciding factor for a major release for Godot? And if you have like a Godot 5 in the future, would you support Godot 4 and Godot 3 like forever?
Would be nice. For the deciding factor is mostly timing. We try to keep like a release window of 4 months, maybe 6 months of development, depends. But there's so many things happening that it's good to put like the releases are like a checkpoint, like, okay, from here on out, like we'll try to stabilize, and then this is a release, it's 4.6, 4.7, whatever. There are some things that people want us to do that don't qualify for this, because we want everybody to be on the latest version all the time, and we try to do a very good job of, if you have a project in 4.5 and you open it in 4.6, you're going to have no issues with it, to incentivize people to be on the latest one, so we don't have to keep releasing old point releases. But some of them don't fit, and they are the candidates for a potential Godot 5. The problem with that is that it's really hard to say now is Godot 5, because then that means that you will have this transition like we had that was very rocky from Godot 3 to Godot 4, where many of the tutorials didn't work at all, many of the systems were different, some nodes didn't exist anymore. Like, there were many different things happening on a big change. I don't think if we ever do a Godot 5, it will be like that. I don't think anybody wants that. But if there's a way that something needs to break compatibility with the past, that's when, you know, when enough of those happen, we will consider it. What we want to experiment a little bit more is trying to make some changes that are like the Jolt one or like the parallax node that we did, where we still leave the other one on legacy mode, but you know, then we replace it with the new one. But we know that if your game depends on something, we are not going to be taking it away. That's a great opportunity for Godot 5, right? In Godot 5, we can take away a lot of things that we know that people are not using, that are, you know, are making other things more complicated. But I don't think that it's a priority right now to do that. Godot 3, for instance, is still maintained, but the work that we do at the foundation for it is minimal. Minimal, it could be like a few hours on, you know, doing the releases and maybe checking the post before it goes on the website, things like that. But that's mostly done by the community, specifically Longelli, who's been like an unstoppable force of getting new stuff from Godot 4 to Godot 3. But it's not on our like priorities at all. Like, we're not hiring anyone to work on Godot 3. And I don't think that would be the case in case like a Godot 5 happens. We will still support Godot 4, because if you started your project in Godot 4, you will want to finish it in Godot 4. And yeah, I think we're now at a moment where most games that come out, where most, like, if not all games are already Godot 4. So we're very happy to, you know, leave Godot 3 more on the background. But if you're starting right now, you need to make sure that you will be able to carry the entire development. And that could be, I don't know, 3 years. So, you know, it's not going away anytime soon.
Hi. I got a question about leadership and the Godot Foundation and the future of Godot. Right now, there's a lot of investments coming, like the host explained, to make it more business appealing, which is a valid cause. And my thoughts were about, or my question is about, will you keep the engine like small, as in size, because the engine is very small compared to the other good engines, but also, in kind of way, the fun it is, right at the moment, because right now it's very much fun to me. And, there, I want to hear your thoughts about it. Maybe we have already talked with the other members about this direction of the Godot engine, because I think there's a lot of different interests in this topic. Thank you.
Yeah. So regarding the direction and stuff like that, I think our goal is always to keep it as tiny as possible. Like, that's why it's so important for us to get the asset store right, so we can outsource part of that complexity, because we can even publish extensions that people might need there. So it doesn't have to come pre-built for everyone. So that will always be a priority. It's impossible to keep it always as small as it is right now or as it was, because computers are getting more and more complicated for some reason that nobody knows. But, you know, let's make Vulkan, and then Vulkan will solve every problem, and then Vulkan doesn't solve every problem. So now, for instance, we're going to have to default for DirectX on Windows, things like that. So we keep adding those things that are crucial if you want to ship your game in Windows. And, you know, the same with many other topics. And regarding the funding from companies and stuff like that, most of us at the foundation or members who are contributing for a long time are not too into VR or XR, but that's where we get a lot of funding to work on that. And that's why those features exist. So I think that's how the companies can interact with us, right? Like, they might not be donating for us to change the entire direction of the project, but if there's something that they are interested in that it's not good enough, they can contribute money for us to work on it. And we've seen it, you know, with Meta helping us at the beginning, and other companies like Kronos, which is an organization also that gave us like some time to work on it and implement OpenXR and all that. I don't think that the community would have given us that. As at the foundation, we wouldn't have prioritized that because of the tiny market of, you know, XR applications. And same, you know, Apple contributing the Apple Vision Pro. Like, I don't think any of us at the foundation even considered about it. But if the companies want to come and give that support, and that also comes with some monetary incentive for us to make sure that at least it works and, you know, it doesn't get abandoned, which is the hard part, we were going to keep doing it. But our priority is always the developers. And that's also some things that we still have to announce, but at the foundation board as well. Like, we wanted to include more people that represent better the community, and that's why we added people who have been more hands-on making games and publishing games, because we believe that that's really important. Same with the Android or iOS exports, like mobile has been kind of neglected for a long time. We thought that the businesses were going to provide that support themselves, like, you know, maybe the big companies were going to give their own SDKs for you to use their platforms, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And we are not waiting for Godot anymore. And we said, like, let's do it. And, you know, let's fill that gap for many of our users that want it. So, yeah, I don't think that the direction is changing too much in that sense since the beginning, but maybe we can do like a better job of showing which sponsor is sponsoring what. And, you know, I've seen some companies doing it already in PRs that say, like, this PR has been sponsored by this company, so you can know where they're investing. Generally speaking, like, if I answer that, like, keeping it very small, and I don't think that it will change a lot in the future.
Speaking of PRs, GitHub has a large number of open PRs.
Yes.
Does the foundation have any plans to work on throughput? It seems like there's a small number of people triaging. Your plans to add more people, more folks review. What's the thoughts on that?
Yeah. So the numbers of PRs is something that at the beginning when you start contributing to Godot or like on the organization keeps you awake at night. Like, oh my God, there's how many thousands of, but if you check like the amount of closed issues and open, like the ratio is not that bad. Like if there's 5,000 open, there's 25,000 closed. So the number usually is very controversial because many projects have been auto-closing issues that nobody reacts to in some time. So they say, okay, if nobody interacted with this in 30 days, we close it. But that doesn't mean that the issue is fixed. And maybe none of us have run into it yet, but then somebody stumbles upon it and they want to contribute to it. If you find that, you know, the issue is closed, but then like it's not really fixed, like it's really hard to orientate yourself into the status of things. So we don't see any upside on closing those issues. Of course, we still need to triage them, and that happens with all the issues that get open, all the PRs, they get their proper labels, they get their proper like boards for, you know, our contractors to work on, or like community members organized to fix specific ones. So it's not like we are not looking at it and pretending it doesn't exist, but I still haven't seen any argument for closing them that makes sense other than the number is now lower, which I don't think is a good metric, so we haven't. I don't know if that answers the question.
The question was more about throughput. The rate that they're getting.
The problem with that as well, like we have some statistics of how long the usual time for closing an issue is, and it varies a lot. Like a lot of them get closed hours, days. Some of them, you know, throw all that away in terms of like maybe in 6 months nobody said anything. We don't have any internal KPI in terms of saying like, you know, this is the amount of time that we want to do, but the triaging happens very, very fast after they get open. And we have people hired to do that. After the triage, it really depends on the team. If we have someone hired working on that, or if it's a priority for the community for us to, you know, find that.
Morning, Emilio, everyone. So as an indie studio that's working for Godot for a year, by the way, amazing community, amazing job you're doing out there. We're struggling with SDKs and big companies that you were talking about because we are mobile and well, another trend of mobile, which is more lifestyle health, incentivize people to move more. What are the general priorities for the mobile development in Godot, like SDKs, integrations, on all of that to ease up our lives a bit?
Yeah, so we are at the moment collecting all that feedback in terms of which are the most important ones and trying to get to those first. Some of them already existed and the community contributed, so if they were abandoned, we took over and then we fixed them. Some of them were just not done, and others are maybe hard to find, but there isn't at least a final list of SDKs that we have that we say, yes, these are the ones that you can expect. But as soon as we have it, we're going to start showing them. On the asset store, we're going to start on the beta one. We're going to start adding like a tag, which will be like official, which is basically something that we officially support. And you will be able to visit the Godot Foundation page with all those SDKs. If there's some missing for us, as I said before, like let us know and why it's important to you. And we're going to try to first, what I do is I try to ask them to do it if they can. If not, I try to ask money for us doing it. And if all that fails and the community really, really needs it, then we'll consider developing in-house. But yeah, there isn't any list other than, you know, what you're expecting in terms of like getting the stores, the Play Store or the Apple Store to run, be able to do like the transactions that you need, you know, to buy stuff inside of the game, things like that. Some analytics like for the usual platforms. I have to say they are better than before. There's more like SDKs than before, but still many of them are missing. So yeah.
Hello. On the GitHub, if something is in a milestone, like for milestone 4.6, does that mean if it's a PR open, it'll get reviewed before that by one of the core team members for merging? Or is it just sort of, how does it work with open PRs that have been open for a while that are on a milestone?
If it's in a milestone, that means that it's probably like there's an intention for us to address it, but that's not a guarantee that it will be addressed. So that's something that most of the contributors look at because they already know that it has passed the triage team. It's kind of like something that we want soon. And if you see that something is in a milestone, it's a regression or it's a crash or something like that, it will get addressed before a release. Everything else, it really depends. You see at the end of each of the releases that many of the issues get moved to the next milestone right before the release, because at some point you need to say, okay, that's it. That's a release. This is a nice to have, but maybe, you know, too risky to merge at the end of the process. So it's a good indication that there's interest on that issue to be, or that PR to be merged, but not a guarantee. So.
Hi. I wanted to ask you that you like that everybody's on the newest version, but I feel like is there any priority to update the versioning itself? So instead of downloading the newest version via the website or directly into the IDE itself. So I feel like the versioning updating is quite annoying. So
you mean updating to the latest one from the IDE, right?
Is there a priority about it?
No, not because if you are too deep into the development of it, you shouldn't, right? Like maybe like you have to pick the moment where you want to do it. And also you already have like a system that tells you if there is an update or not, but to make the entire launcher to automatically download versions and to keep them in your system and all that is not something that I feel is too difficult. You know, you download Godot in a few seconds if you have a decent internet, and then you double click and that's it. So making it easier than that feels like why, right? Would be nice, and the project manager should get some updates eventually, you know, showing maybe like a cool image, maybe more online capabilities to check if there's any news that you should know about or if there's any version, things like that. But ideally it should be self-contained. So if you download a Godot version, you know, you can use it. You can put it in a USB and run it anywhere. And if you start doing the launcher, then like, are we going to ship the launcher to everybody? And then like, there's too many implications for it, for a system that works okay. And if you want a launcher, there's like 5 or 6 that already exist that automatically download the latest version that you can, you know, tag. So yeah, I don't think that it's a huge priority, and we don't have any conversation open about it. But I have many plans for what I would like to see on that, but not too important. Yeah, I feel it's too oriented to people who have many projects at the moment. And it's like, you know, it shows like 10 projects, like you shouldn't be working on 10 games at the same time, right? Like, we are not incentivizing the right thing here.
Hello. So I really like that the Godot engine is open source, and I really love also to see other open source games, so that the games are also with the source code available. I also made a few, and my question is if there is a plan from the Godot Foundation to support also games made with the Godot engine that are open source, maybe with visibility. I saw there is the awesome Godot list, but maybe is there a plan to do that more, or even someday even support them financially or something like that?
Yeah, no, not at the moment. Like, we do have a showcase page where we show some projects, and it's a bit neglected at the moment. Most of them are like commercial projects, but I've heard from like popular games that they also wanted to open source them, and they were asking me like, what should we do about it? So it would be nice to have them, but there isn't any plan on making something specific for open source games. I would say if you want to get more contributors, you should maybe post it in the socials, like Reddit gets a lot of attention from other communities, or in Discord. And if the game is successful enough, we can always try to highlight it in one of the release blog posts and send people there. There was one that got into a showreel 2 years ago, I believe, or 3 years ago, Rota, which was an open source game, and I think that was also featured. And, you know, it depends on the game exactly. We have some small demos that we have on our like demo repository, can like many examples. It would be nice of having demos of bigger projects so people can see how they are. But no, there is one popular one that we should maybe make a little bit more noise, but I think it's Godot 3, which is called a little game called Mario, which is a game that accepts every PR that you send to it. It's incredible. Like, it has a million levels, a million mechanics, and it's great. You should try it. But yeah, no, there isn't any initiative at the moment. Could be interesting to think more about that.
Hi, thank you for the Q&A, first and foremost. And my question is, do you have any process for measuring extensions or add-ons to the core library or code?
Can you repeat?
I mean, do you have any process for, let's say there's an add-on or extension that is very popular that could be moved into the core of Godot? Do you have any process for that? Thank you.
There isn't. I mentioned Jolt a couple of times because that was kind of like there was an extension, and then, you know, it eventually made it to the core. So I guess it's more like on a case by case basis. So at the moment there isn't. Our goal is to have a very good plugin RGD extension system so that you wouldn't feel the need to include it into core for everybody. So that means maybe you can download an extension and do it, like enable it globally so that any project that you open already has that extension available. And that way will be as close as native without having to ship this to everybody. So at the moment, it really depends. If there's something that's very popular, the passive start theme, for instance, that was kind of like an extension that we said, like, we think this is better than our current theme, we include it and then we port it. But it's a different story to any other kind of thing that got to the core. We want to keep the core as small as possible. And, you know, going back to the other question that I got, like, if we keep adding things that not everybody's going to use, it's also harder for us to maintain those. So before accepting something, we need to make sure that we are able to support this in the future. And with many of those extensions, it's hard for us to say, like, yes, we think we need this and that we are going to be able to maintain it. So making it easier would be like a good middle ground. Did you have, out of curiosity, any extension in mind? GDUnit, okay, GDUnit. For that, you know, it's there's a couple of them. So we need to pick a favorite son, and that's kind of maybe tricky. I would like, for instance, to have some better Git integration on the engine that, you know, that everybody uses. But then again, like, not everybody is using Git. If you see our poll every year, there's like 20 something percent of people who are not using Git. But there isn't any process at the moment.
Unfortunately, our time is already up. I know that you have many more questions, but I think you'll be around today, yes, tomorrow.
Yeah, if you see me around, feel free to come, say hi, and ask. And also, if not, on the streams every Wednesday on the YouTube channel at 5 p.m. European time, you will be able to ask anything. And if not, on the forum, you can leave a question there, and it will get answered. So, yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Amy.